This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. Today, I'll read another family story from the book Sandridge Settlers, written by Ray Giroir in about 1980. It's full of stories of tough settlers. Check it out at the Rose Oconee Museum. The people of the Sandridge came from many lands and were of numerous nationalities, so it is no surprise that Trondheim, Norway, is the setting for the story of Gunder and Marit Hammer. Marit was 11 years old when she came to the United States and 18 when she married Gunder. After living at Warren, Minnesota for many years, they decided to move to Rose Oconee, where 160 acres of land could be had for $1.25 per acre, plus some other amenities such as building a cabin and living on the land for 1 year. In 1903, this family of 10 hardy souls traveled by horse and wagon and settled on the extreme western edge of the Sandridge, southwest quarter of Beaver Township of Rose Oconee. Driving a bronco and gray mare, they also had along one team of mules and two cows. Gunder's parents came along later and proved up on the quarter of land just to the east. They lived with their son's family for the first winter, but later moved a little south of the others. Children along were Oscar, George, John, Palmer, John, Benny, Conrad, and Marie. Grace and Sarah were born later. Benny, our narrator, was 2 years old at the time. Coming in the fall, as they did, caused great hardships, for they had to live in a buggy while hurriedly building a house of green poplar logs. That first winter, the logs gave off so much moisture as to cause many inches of frost inside the house to form. Grandmother Hammer hung blankets over these trouble spots to aid in keeping the house warm. Since there was no time for gardening, or even clearing for one, it was a long, hard winter for the Hammers. Deer were scarce and hard to get. When one was shot, the whole neighborhood shared in the feast. Occasionally, a rabbit was gotten. Their old cow had to be butchered for food during the winter. The Hammer boys proved to be a prankish lot, for they aggravated their grandmother greatly by pushing her down and then stealing her sugar lumps. She oft-times wished that she was back in Norway. A long time later, these boys were contrite for these wrongdoings. In the ensuing years, the younger John died from diphtheria, but Sarah was fortunate enough to survive the onslaught of the same disease. Oscar was killed in World War I, and George died later from the effects of the war. They, as well as Palmer, Gunder, and Marit, are buried in the old Pine Grove Cemetery. The grandparents are at rest in the Mackinac Cemetery to the west. Gunder had often worked in the harvest fields of North Dakota for a meager 25 cents per day, leaving Marit alone with the large family. Once the wolves got so numerous that she stuck a pitchfork into one. It ran off, and neither it nor the weapon was ever seen again. Speaking of the lean years, Benny said they would catch the sickly fish, no doubt because they were easier to get, and fry them. Then the boys would swipe butter from the grandmother in which to fry them. For some recreation, Conrad and Benny would go way up the Roseau River along which they lived, take off all their clothes, and swim downstream. Then they would have to sneak through the woods to get their clothes back. Marit acted as midwife in the region wherein she lived. This caused many hardships, for she had to be gone a lot, and her husband was resentful of this. One could not blame him, but it is known that she was an angel of mercy to the mothers of the area. It is known that this good woman delivered most of the Fred Vitlichill's children. Olive, Mrs. Vitlichill, was a sister of Verland Orvis. Benny tells of the time that he and Palmer were chasing each other around the house. There was a homemade wagon nearby which had a sharp point of wood sticking out from it. Benny ran into it and poked out his eyeball. The mother was hurriedly called as it hung by two cords. She poked it back into the socket and Benny received his sight back, although it was not quite as good as before. One time, Grandfather Hammer was cutting hay with a scythe. As he swung away, he cut into a bear which lay into the grass with two cubs, a very nasty situation indeed. He ran hastily away but came back later to find the bears gone. It was a dangerous situation which turned out well. As a boy, Benny collected the eggs. He often put a few in his pockets to take over to the Gustafson store to trade for tobacco. When Mr. Gustafson was there, everything was fine. But not so when Mrs. Gustafson attended the store. He could not get tobacco then. In that case, Benny traded for cookies or candy. He kept the candy in a 10-gallon cream can, which finally got full. It developed a leak, and rain then spoiled it all. In 1907, Benny was going to the log school on the Newhall Place, just to the south. He was supposed to draw a picture of a cow, and Bessie Hayes, the teacher, put her arms around him to help. This proved too much for Benny, and he ran off into the woods. Bessie had to close school to look for him. He was nowhere to be found. This sad fact had to be reported to his mother, who said, "Don't worry about that kid. He can take care of himself." Sure enough, Benny came home just before dark. Benny and wife Annie, at the time the book was put together, lived in their beautiful home on the land which their ancestors had struggled so mightily to improve and survive upon. A lovely tarred road winds past this home, and there seems to be no evidence left of the hardships that they and their forefathers had experienced. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.